Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
So I want us to take a look today at a deep look at Psalm 91. And we're going to look at the character, nature, power, and the person of God. Did you ever have a person in your life accuse someone that was close to you? They accused them of something, and it left you saying, wait a minute, you know, that's not their nature, that's not their character, they would have never said that, they would have never done it that way. And it just kind of leaves you wanting to defend that person because you know that that's not their character. Well, every day people are accusing God of all kinds of things. And we know that that's not his nature, or that's not his character, or we know his nature. The more we draw near to him, the more we know his nature, the more we know his character. And so we're left defending him because we're saying, you know what? That's not God. And I remember so many people, why do kids suffer? Why does this happen? Why is there hunger in this nation? Why is all this? Why? And really, some of those questions are a deep stumbling block for some people. There are some people in my life that eventually the Lord began to break in and answer those questions for them, and they got saved because they began to look at the nature and the character of God. And so we want to look at that. You see, when people are accused, you know, everybody has a way about them. We have a way about them, about ourselves, the way we hold ourselves, and you know, the people around us, if they're around us very long, they should know that we're Christians. You know, they should know that we love the Lord. They should know that we will serve him and serve him only. You know, and there's a lot of times when people will challenge you, and then you have to know that you're going to stand on his promises and stand on his character, and then that they'll know that that's your way. The way is someone's nature. The definition of nature is the essential character, the quality or qualities that makes someone who they are. It's the essence of the tendencies of a person. In Psalm 103:7, I love this verse, said the Lord, he made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the sons of Israel. And I studied that verse for the longest time, and I would do a whole expansive study on ways and his and the works. And I came to realize that Moses knew God for who he is. He knew him intimately. He knew his ways. In Israel, the people of Israel, they were afraid to go to him on the mountain. They were afraid of him. And so they just knew God through his miracles. But they had a twisted view of God's miracles. They saw God's miracles as a temporary solution to their current problem, rather than the revelation of an almighty God who makes covenant with his people, right? So they saw him, you know, that's why I felt like they would go right into the next thing. They would get a miracle from God, and then they would go right into whining about something they didn't have because they didn't know God and his ways. But Moses was probably, you could see Moses going, oh. You know, how many times when Moses like, when are you people going to get it? When are you going to know his ways? In Proverbs 8:32, it says, now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Deuteronomy 10:12, to walk in all his ways, to love him. 2 Samuel 22:22, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. Proverbs 23:26, give me your heart, my son, let your eyes delight in my ways. Daniel 4:37 says, and all his ways are just. Hosea 14:9, the ways of the Lord are right. So do the times that we live in cause us to do things in God's ways or our ways? You know, our flesh is always at war at times with us wanting to do our own way. Something happens, and what do we say? Now what am I going to do? How am I going to fix that? Something breaks, oh, now what are we going to do? You know, and so that shouldn't be the first thing. The first thing is, it should be, Lord, what are you going to do? You know, Lord, this is your car. This is your house. This is your bank account. Lord, how are you going to fix this, Lord? How are you going to take care of that? But there's a transition in our minds and in our hearts to be able to do that, to not be the first thing that we say is, what am I going to do about it? Because the middle letter in pride is I. So we're living in some trying times. Things seem to be changing so fast. Man, sometimes I just hate to turn on the news. First thing in turn on the news in South Bend, where I live, 5 shootings in the last 4 days. You know, and then there's, I believe the count is up to 12 killed in Texas. The other day, there's 14 in throughout Mississippi and the south down there. The tornadoes came as far north as Indianapolis. And there's still, the other day, there were still several people missing down south in Mississippi. They couldn't even find them yet. And, you know, the soldiers that were killed in Afghanistan, you know, it's supposed to be relatively peaceful right now. Most of us aren't even thinking about it, how many troops that we still have there. And all of a sudden, these guys get ambushed, and they were amazing soldiers, and they're gone just like that, right before Christmas, you know. Then there's all the other terrorism threats. So today I want us to take a closer look at the character, the nature, and the power, and the person of God. And, you know, I find great comfort. There's a verse in Malachi that I love. It's one that I just stand on, Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. You know, that's part of his character and his nature, right? I, the Lord, do not change. He stands on, we can stand on that. You know, we can stand on that. And so I want us to look through Psalm 91, and you know, I want us to take a little bit of a sightseeing venture. I'll move quickly through it, but have you ever seen the mountains from the plain, you know, from a plane? It's beautiful. It's a whole lot different when you're down in the mountains. You know, all of a sudden, you're down in there in the trenches of it. And one time I took my daughter to Portland for an internship, and I was so close to the Pacific, I thought, man, I am this close. I have to go and put my feet in that ocean, you know. But I had to go drive about 30 miles through the mountains to get there. But I didn't tell anybody I was going. Oh, my goodness, there was a mudslide up to the edge of the road. There was these logs that fell off of a log truck and all this stuff. I'm thinking, what am I doing? It was only supposed to be like a short little thing ride to the ocean. By the time I got there, I was so stressed out. I stuck my feet in, got back in the car, and went back. I thought, okay, I stuck my feet in there officially. I was there. But, you know, there was such a difference from seeing them from the plane, but being down in the trenches. And so sometimes, you know, we miss those sightseeing places. You know, you're driving in the car, and they have those places where you can pull over and take in the whole sight of a mountain range. If you're looking out the other window, you might miss one of the most spectacular things because you just weren't looking. And sometimes it's just a couple seconds or a split second. So sometimes that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to pull over and turn off the car and take a good hard look at it, because sometimes we're so quick to read it over so quickly that we miss some of the things that the Lord is saying through it. And we're going to have different various versions of the Bible. And one of the things that I, during this message, I discovered that I really liked the Complete Jewish Bible for some references, for some things. I don't spend a lot of time in it, but all of a sudden I picked one up and I started looking through it. And it gives a different little bit perspective, so I'll quote a little bit from there today as well. In Psalm 91, it does not identify its author, although Psalm 90 was written by Moses. But many scholars feel that it was most likely written by one of the temple personnel, either a priest or a Levite, as a word of assurance to godly worshipers. This is a psalm that's full of promise, where the Lord's response to those who respond to him. So I felt like I was working through this. The Lord gave me like, go ahead and put verse 1 up, Josh. But there's like a word that explains each verse. So verse 1 is a declaration. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, the secret place, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's his promise. The Complete Jewish Bible said, those who spend your nights in the shadow of Shaddai. The shadow is wherever the person giving the shadow is. So you can't be under the shadow of someone unless you're right next to them. So under the shadow of his wing, or under the shadow of him, means that we're right there with the Lord. We're close to him. And the Amplified Bible says, you shall remain stable and fixed. So those who dwell in the secret place, the shelter of the Most High, will remain stable and fixed. How many of you want to be stable and fixed, right? Right on the Lord. In these crazy times, to be in a place of being stable. You know, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. So what are the conditions like in your life when you feel the closest to the Lord? You know, when I ask that question, it's usually typically when people say, when I'm spending a lot of time with the Lord, or when I'm in his word, when I'm deep in prayer. It's really hard for people to say that they're feeling close to the Lord if you never open the Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not walking with him. It's really hard to be able to say that. So for us to be able to get to know him is to be and to remain stable and fixed is to be able to be in that place where we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, where we purpose to spend time with Him, where we turn off our phones, we turn off all distractions, and be able to go into that place and spend that time with Him that He rightly deserves. Verse 2 says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. The Amplified says, on Him who I lean on and rely upon, in Him I confidently trust. So my God in whom I trust, on Him I lean on and I rely upon Him, and I confidently trust in Him. See, God is the ultimate source of our trust. Throughout the Psalms, I love that every time you hit to the place, my God in whom I trust, right? My God in whom I trust. It's throughout there. So what percentage of your life are you trusting the Lord with right now? As you're going into a new year, is there, you know, a relationship you need to trust the Lord with? Is there finances that you don't see it, but you need to trust the Lord, you know? Is there a healing that's right around the corner for you? You don't see it, but you know that you want that healing, and are you trusting God for it? So what are you going into 2016 trusting God for? Because He loves for us to be able to trust Him in those things. You know, He's such a good Father to be able to trust Him with those things. You know, my God in whom I trust, He is my refuge and my fortress. You know, a refuge is a safe place, and a fortress is a fortified place. So He is our safe place, and He is our fortified place. We can go into that place with Him, and we can be confidently trust in Him. And verse 3 is deliverance. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. The Complete Jewish Bible says, for it is He who delivers you from the trap of the hunter and from the plague of calamities. This verse could also be our confidence in the Lord's protection. It is the Lord who delivers us from trouble. Not anything that we do by our own efforts. We can't do anything by our own efforts. He is our deliverer, right? He is the one who delivered us. If we have salvation in Jesus Christ, He is the one who delivered us. You know, He is our deliverer. And, you know, and throughout the Word, it's God's heart and nature to deliver. You know, in Israel, many times they find themselves in a pickle. What would God do? Send a deliverer, you know? And then Jesus is the ultimate deliverer for us, for all of mankind. You know, I think of when Jesus was in the boat sleeping, and the disciples were like, Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown here? You know, I love that story. You know, and then one of the Gospels, it talks about all the other little boats who were around them as well, and they weren't in on the conversation. They weren't in on that conversation. They just saw the evidence of what Jesus did when He stood up and He calmed the seas. You know, like, who is this guy that even the wind and the waves obey Him? You know, He's our rescuer. You know, it's the Lord's nature to say, I got this, you know. I got this. If we will trust Him and put our trust in Him, He'll say, I got this. And number 4 is the divine protection. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. The Complete Jewish Bible says His truth is a shield and protection. His truth is a shield and protection to you. There are so many lies out there. There are so many falsehoods out there. But when we stand on His truth, you know, when we stand on it, sometimes we make a stance on His truth. Our jobs are on the line, or sometimes other things are on the line when we stand on truth, and it'll protect us. I might tell this story before, but I'll tell it again. There was years ago where I worked in a factory for many years. And early on, before I was saved, we were cleaning this back warehouse, and I stole a type case. Back in the day when they would put print together, they had little cases where they kept all the letters. Well, people in flea market would sell them for shadow boxes. And even back years and years ago, they were worth a lot of money. So, and they're back in the warehouse. They're not hurting anybody. They're dusty. No one's going to miss them, right? Well, you know, if you steal something like that, then you get saved. You either better get rid of it, because there's going to come a day where the Lord's going to have you reconcile for that thing. So that happened to me. And one day the Lord said, I want you to go to the owner of the company, and I want you to have that in your car, and confess that theft to him and return it to him. And I was like, Lord, he's not even missing what we do. You give all the, you know, Lord, he don't even miss it. Lord, you know, this and that. He don't ever come out of the office, Lord. And so then I just kept feeling the heat, you know, I kept feeling the heat. And finally I put out a fleece and said, all right, Lord, if he comes out of his office and comes my way, I'll do it. It wasn't 10 seconds later, right? And he hardly ever came out of the office. He's coming right for me. And I had the thing in my car, but the thing was I didn't even tell my wife. You know, and so I'm standing on the truth, right? The truth was I'm going to return it to him. And so, man, I am so nervous. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So he stops by the end of the machine there, and he, you know, Dutka, how you doing? I said, I'm all right. And we just got talking. I said, I got to confess something to you. I told him years ago, I said, I stole this thing from you. I have it in my car. I need to ask you to forgive me for that, and I'd like to return it to you. And he paused. It was only a few seconds, but it seemed like an eternity. You know, I already saw my dismissal notice and everything, you know, that I already saw me in line at the unemployment office and that 3 seconds that he paused, you know. And he said, in all the years that I have owned this company, no one has ever confessed theft. He said, you're on the committees. You know how much we budget every year for theft, for people to steal rags. They steal sprays and everything. They used to, back years ago, they budgeted like $30,000 a year, up to $50,000 a year for employee theft. So he says, you know that number. We go through it every time. He says, I'll tell you what you do. He says, wherever you set up an office, he said, you put that thing up as a sign of forgiveness. And he says, and I forgive you, and you go ahead and keep that thing. You know, so it was in that moment. So it was just a moment of truth, being able to say that. And the truth was my protection, and it was my confidence was in the Lord. And so it was an amazing thing. When we stand on this truth, it sets us free from so many things. And his truth dispels all the darkness of lies. And so just think about the times when for yourself when the Lord has protected you personally from accidents or from things that you're not sure if you could really attribute to the Lord. But there's times when you know that you know that you know that the Lord has spared you from this. And how many times when we get to heaven, I'm sure we're going to have so many videos about all the times that we were spared that we didn't even know about. We weren't even aware about. Verse 5 and 6, a divine confidence. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noon. The complete Jewish Bible says, the plague that roams in the dark, or the scourge that wreaks havoc at noon. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That's his promise and his divine covering. We don't have to fear. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, right? The Lord needs to be the source of all our confidence. You know, when I first got saved, man, I was just enjoying that ride. But then I began to realize something called spiritual warfare, and began to try to memorize verses and study things. And all of a sudden, I had this really weird fear of death. I mean, almost like a panic attack where I couldn't breathe. I'd wake up in the middle of the night sweating, thinking I'm just going to die. So I got up and I began to study verses about having my confidence in the Lord. Then when that feeling would come on me, I would just begin to declare those verses, and it went away and it never returned. So the power of his word is a weapon for us. It absolutely is an offensive weapon for us. Here I was, a few month old Christian, not really knowing, you don't know what you're doing at that point. You're trying to memorize scripture, trying to do the right thing. You're trying to figure out, you're starting to hear from the Holy Spirit, that kind of thing. But then to be able to see the evidence of the power of declaring his word over a situation in my life and see it subside was absolutely amazing. And it grew faith in me, and it grew made me get stronger. Verse 7 and 8, a witness to the Lord's justice. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. In the complete Jewish Bible, it says, it won't come near you. Keep your eyes open and see how the wicked are punished. In the Amplified, it says, only a spectator shall you be. You are inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked. I'm going to read those again. It won't come near you. Complete Jewish Bible. Won't come near you. Keep your eyes open and see how the wicked are punished. Amplified is, only a spectator shall you be. You are inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked. See, the Lord is a God of justice. His justice is so sovereign. It doesn't always make sense to us, just as his mercy doesn't always make sense. But we get to witness the Lord's justice. We get to witness that as a spectator, you know? And my mother-in-law used to, football drove her crazy because she'd say, look at all those people, and they're worshiping a pigskin back in the day, you know? And she'd say, isn't that an unclean animal in the Bible anyway? And look at all these guys, they're worshiping it, you know? Would drive her crazy. And I remember taking a picture with my camera the first time I went to the Promise Keepers in Indianapolis where the Colts played, and the whole place was filled with men singing Amazing Grace. And I remember taking pictures of that and coming home and saying, look at this. I witnessed them. They were worshiping the Lord, not that pigskin. You know? So it was. So here we are, just to be a spectator. We can be a spectator to the Lord's justice. You know, go Jesus. You know, we can paint ourselves up like they do in football games and just be like, hey, go Jesus. Be a spectator of what he's going to do to the wicked around us, because we don't have to. We don't have to be a part of that. We can be a witness to the Lord's justice. And we need to know the Lord as judge. There's times when the Lord has taught me how to pray to bring things into the courtroom of the Lord, to let him be the judge of things. You know, we're wrestling with something. We're trying to press in. We're trying to pray for breakthrough. And sometimes there's opposition in our lives. We need to appeal to the Lord's justice. And him is the God who is the judge. And act like it's a courtroom and say, Lord, I just, you know, the honorable Lord Jesus, everybody rise, you know. And just act like it's a courtroom and bring it to the to him who's the judge and preside it that way to him. I tell you, I've had such a breakthrough in prayer because the Lord gave me that revelation to pray to him as judge and look to his justice and appeal to him in prayer in that way. And it made such a difference in my fighting for things. Verse 9 and 10. It's a condition and a promise. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. So the Lord keeps us from evil. It's his nature to do so. And the Complete Jewish Bible says, no disaster will happen to you. No calamity will happen to you. And some translations start with the portion that says, if you make the Lord your dwelling, your refuge. Some of the translations put a condition on it. You know, there's, as we prayed earlier for the families of the people who were lost in these tornadoes, the crazy thing about that, there's always tragedy. There seems to be tragedy. But there's always testimony in those things, too. The one in Napanee. The one several years ago, that really bad tornado that hit Napanee, there was one house that was completely destroyed except for a little stand that this elderly lady kept her Bible on. That was the only thing that was still there. Everything else was obliterated, but her Bible wasn't touched. And so you have all those, you have testimonies like that. So I'm praying about testimonies coming forth from these recent ones. A couple years ago, the one that hit Tuscaloosa, Alabama, there was a church that it was all devastated completely around them, and except there wasn't anything touched on them, not even a bush, nothing. Their whole parking lot, everything, it was, and everything around them, and they even had electricity. It was pretty crazy. The pastor was a young pastor, and it was really funny because the Weather Channel was trying to interview him. They really didn't know what to do with this, and he was a really neat young pastor, and he said, look, he said, there's so much tragedy out there. He said, I have to look at the purposes of God and see why he spared us. He said, so he put out their number and everything. He said, we're setting up our parking lot as a place for people to bring tarps and wood and nails. And because we haven't been touched, we're going to be the place where people can come to get all the tools and everything they need to be able to board up their houses and do what they need to do. And so he turned it right around and saw that and gave God the glory and saw God's purposes in it. So every time there's tragedy and things like that, and the camera guy was so funny from the Weather Channel. He did a 160. 180. He went around in a circle, showing you from the middle of the parking lot how everything around them was devastated, but them. And he goes, "There you have it." He didn't really know. He had no grid what to do with that. He really didn't. Yeah, so, but, you know, I look at that and I think about in Exodus chapter 10, 20 through 20, 21 through 23, it talks about the plague of darkness. And it said, darkness was in Egypt for 3 days, but all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. You know, how cool would that be in your neighborhood? And somebody says, hey, did you get a generator? No, my generator is Jesus. But you had lights. Of course I had lights. I want to pray that in. That would be the greatest testimony, wouldn't it? Hey, those people down there, they had light, but they don't have a generator. So everybody's going to come down to your house, right? But why can't we believe for that? I mean, he did it here. It's already in his word. They had light in their dwelling, and no one else did. You know, I just wonder if they kind of went to the edge, like, look at them. It's all dark over there. You know, and they're like in their light. They're, you know, I wonder if they kind of tested the boundary, how far it went. But how amazing. They were able to go on with their lives while the Egyptians, and they said it was a deep darkness. Sometimes a darkness, you can't even see your hand in front of you. And so it was just, it's an amazing thing. So his, so it's his conditions and his promise. Verse 11 and 12 is a fortified covering and protection. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. And the complete Jewish Bible says, he orders his angels to care for you and guard you wherever you go. Amen. You know, and this verse is quoted by Satan in Luke 4 as he's challenging Jesus as he's coming out of fasting for 40 days. You know, there was a time when I'm up on the roof. I got a lot of trees around my house and stuff. I'm getting branches and things off there. And I went up on the roof just to, for a quick minute. But I did not realize that I had stepped in my doggy surprise, right? And so I get up on the roof, and I go to put all my weight on that foot, and I turn, and I'm sliding off the roof. And I'm planning my landing because there is a bush down there, you know. But I'm planning my landing, and all I had time to say was, Jesus! That's all I had time. And it was a calm day. There was no wind. A big gust of wind came at me. It was just enough to keep me on the roof. And so I envisioned a big angel just like blowing, you know, just blowing real strong. And I was just like, okay, I need to check my shoes before I come up on the roof next time. Thank you, Jesus. But yeah, but you know, it was, but then when I got down, I thought, what happened here? It's like completely calm. There was like no wind. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for your, I stand on your promise of your protection and your covering over me, you know, and it was just, it was absolutely an amazing time. So how many times, once again, have we been spared when we're unaware? The times when, you know, sometimes you forget, you go back to the house to check on something you unplugged, or did we lock that door or something? Maybe that 2 minute delay has kept you from something. And there's been times where we did that and then we're going down the road and there's this big accident and stuff. We're like, wow. You know, that might have put us right in there. There's every one of us here have stories like that to where, you know, we're unaware of the Lord's protection. But I tell you, when we get in that house of glory, there's going to be the most fanciest DVD player, whatever it is in Lord's language at that time for us to be able to see. Because I want to see. I want to know all the times that the angels or that the Lord has spared me from harm. I don't want to walk around and oblivious to that. I'd love to know. That, you know, how did he protect me at times when I wasn't aware of it? It's just absolutely amazing. Verse 13, his authority, his militant authority. You would tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. This is authority with the Lord's protection, right? Do we really walk in the authority that the Lord has given us? Do we pray with authority? And I think that's authority is one of the things that really a lot of Christians struggle with, you know, and we have to first get through our issues with authority figures, you know, and the fear of man and all that stuff. We need to kick that to the side, and we need to get healing for that before we can fully understand the Lord's authority that he's given to us to be able to access. What has he given you authority for in prayer? You know, I know for me, there's times when the Lord would give me authority to pray for people with migraine headaches. Somebody says, oh, I got a migraine. I said, got that. You know, if you know that the Lord has given you authority, I know there's people with sciatica nerve and there's other people that have authority to pray for certain body parts. When they hear that, they're on it because they know the Lord has given them anointing for that and to be able to do that. So what do we, but it's also authority is tricky because sometimes do we take authority that we shouldn't? And do we go into a realm of places, have authority or take authority that the Lord hasn't given us access to do that? Example of that was when I went to, I told a story before, but when I went to Israel, the Lord said, don't take on the ancient principalities, but give blessing to Israel wherever you go, because the enemy cannot traffic in your blessing. But I am not calling you there to take on these ancient principalities. So I was real careful. And sometimes we pray wrongly and we take on things that the Lord hasn't given us authority to do that. An example, I might have said this before, but it's a good example for this moment. Barbara Yoder, how many of you know her? Just a real amazing prophetic prayer warrior, has a ministry out in Michigan. Well, the Lord told her one time he put her on a worship assignment. He wanted her to go to Dearborn, Michigan, where it's predominantly Muslim now, and it's that whole area is Muslim. And he wanted her to go to the Civic Center, rent the Civic Center for three different dates the Lord gave her. He said, I want worship in here. I don't want preaching. I don't want teaching. I don't want prayer. He said, I want you to come and worship. Establish worship in this place. He also called her to hire state policemen to fortify the place. And so they went the first time, and a lot of imams and other people from the Muslim community were trickling in there, seeing what's going on. Well, after the first one seemed really successful, people were like, we need to do this, and we need to pray, we need to, you know, have so many more of them. And she's like, nope, there's three different dates. We're not going to, you know, you should have somebody come and preach. She's like, nope, we're going to have worship and worship only, and we're going to do this. So she knew the scope of her assignment, and she knew the authority that she had to do that. Now, they didn't get messed with. It was, and who knows what opened up in the spiritual realm because she was obedient to that. And what would have happened had she not been obedient to that? And sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the emotion of things and go off the track of where the Lord has given you authority in. You know, as director of the Watchman here at Voice and for the House of Prayer, there's been times where the Lord has given us authority to be able to do things in prayer. And I'm always real careful with that. You know, and make sure that we all know how we're going to pray, what we're going to do. In this mall, when we first came here, the Lord was like highlighting places for us in this mall. You know, we were in this room and the next room, and we had that other room down there for a while. And the Lord said, you do realize that you are all, that your ministry is in three failed businesses. And we were like, oh, didn't realize that, Lord. He said, you need to go take authority over the spirit of poverty. And he gave us a list of things. So we had authority to come into these rooms and pray that stuff off and cleanse it off, because that's what intercessors do. So the Lord has given us specific prayer assignments as watchmen in this ministry. So we've been able to do those things. But we don't deviate from the authority that the Lord has given to us. So we need to be able to understand the authority and the militant authority that the Lord has given to us. Now, the last couple of verses, there's a shift. And starting with verse 14, the Lord begins to speak in first person. It turns now, and it's him speaking. And it says, because he loves me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. The complete Jewish Bible says, because he loves me, I will rescue him. Because he knows my name, I will protect him. That's our benefits in knowing the name of Jesus. Jesus is the most controversial name there is out there. You can talk about God in a general sense, and people will engage you in a conversation. But if you use the name of Jesus, it's a game changer. If they know that your allegiance is to Jesus, it's a game changer for you, and you have to be prepared for that. But it's because he knows my name. It's a condition and a response to our love. Because he loves me, therefore I will deliver him. So the Lord is responding to our love. He's responding to the fact that he knows we love him, and he's going to do these things for us because it's a natural response for him as a loving God to do that. I will deliver him, you know, and I will set him securely on high. You know, so there's so much power in just the name of Jesus. I wonder how many times that we've been spared just by saying the name of Jesus. It's all we have time to say. Say it. Things will happen. Things will move. Verse 15 is God's response to our allegiance to him. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. See, we do something, then God does something. He responds to our lead. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. See, God responds to us. And Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, and I will answer you, and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not yet know. And so there's, you know, God is responding to our allegiance to him. He loves to respond to us when he knows our heart is rightly before him and drawing near to him and looking to him for answers, looking to him for those things in our lives. And he loves to be able to answer that. Things move in the spiritual realm when we call upon the Lord. And our calling out to him changes everything. It just changes the atmosphere in a moment. Who are you calling out to and when you're in need of breakthrough? Are you calling out to the Lord? Jesus, I need a breakthrough in this time right now. So we need to be able to know that he responds to our allegiance to him. He will call upon me and I will answer him. In verse 16, it's a divine fulfillment. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. He numbers our days. We can stand on that promise. We can stand on his promises. This is the Lord's ultimate promise to us, that we can know that we have salvation in him. You know, I remember so many times trying to witness to people in the factory and just in the gym and other places. And how do you know that you know? Because there's so many world religions that teach that you really don't know. And you got to pile up everything you can on the off chance that maybe you'll be saved after you die. You know, and I just remember as a young kid growing up Catholic, it was really interesting. I'll back up. The first funeral I went to as a born-again Christian, and it was a guy who had been served the Lord all his life, and he was in his 80s. I walked in, and there was balloons, and people were talking and enjoying one another and laughing, and they were praying over here. I was like, what is going on? You know, I was like, I didn't connect yet that that was a celebration because he had promise of salvation. I grew up, everybody in fear of their own salvation because they're just looking at that dead old guy in that casket and they don't know where he's at. They don't have assurance of salvation. So they're in fear of their own salvation and it's just everybody kind of this somber freaking out that's what I grew up with is this crazy fear. And then of course the little Polish lady is going, you know, he could have looked a little bit better if we paid more, $25 more. And I'm like, what? You know, I was like, yeah, but yeah. But it's those things where to be able to know that we have salvation in him. And many times arguing with people, how do you know? How do you know that you know? And then you memorize the scriptures, you know, that you have salvation in him. You memorize the salvation, the Romans and all those scriptures that give you the salvation assurances. And you lay those out there and let them chew on those for a while and let them. Many times those verses have led people come back to me and then they realize it and I was able to lead them to the Lord. Because the promises of salvation that we have in him. God is a God of promise. This is part of his nature. It's his character to fulfill his promises to us, right? We walk every day, we can walk in promise and fulfillment. You know, and there's, I know that there's promises that I've gotten throughout the Word of God, but also through the Holy Spirit, and they haven't been fulfilled yet, but I'm standing on those promises. You know, and saying, hey, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And so you pray into it and you stand on that because he's a God of promise, right? And so it doesn't matter how long it takes, he's going to fulfill it at just the right time when he sees the right timing for it. And I love that, Romans 8:28, when Michael, at the end of worship, made us continue to sing that, you make all things work together for my good. And when we kept singing that, you know, think about his promises. Think about his divine fulfillment. With long life, I will satisfy him. Let him see my salvation. You know, and we're singing, all things work together for my good. So in all these verses, we see the character, the nature, and the power, and the purpose of God. And I'm going to read just the titles that the Lord gave me all at one time just for all these verses. It's a declaration, a proclamation, deliverance, divine protection, divine confidence, a witness to the Lord's justice, condition and promise, a fortified covering and protection, an authority, a militant authority, a condition, a response to our love, God's response to our allegiance to him, and there is divine fulfillment in that. And so that is Psalm 91. So as we head into 2016,
No matter what happens, let's look at the character, the nature of God, his power and his person, and really trust him. When people say, hey, they're blaming God for everything, you know, their cell phone doesn't work and they're blaming God for it, you know. And I mean, the people blame God for everything. And so this is an opportunity for us to say, hey, this is his character. This is God's nature. This is his power. This is the person of God. This is who he is. This is how he treats these things. This is his truth. We don't have to fear. This is his truth. This is all these things that make up God. And so we can walk in the fullness of all that as we head into a new year with so much uncertainty. And it just seems like it's accelerating. But we don't have to walk in fear. We can walk in promise. We can walk in fulfillment of all that the Lord has. But Mike, I want you guys to come up and just want to play a song. I just felt to open it up today. I'm just going to pray a prayer of blessing at the end for us of this verse. But I just felt like if there was something that that struck a chord with you in this message, just something that you really want to trust the Lord with, or there's something that you maybe weren't looking at the person of God that way or his nature that way, and that you really want to go into this next year really fulfilling what God has called you to and really walking in the fullness of all that God has for you. And just really looking at saying, you know, Lord, I just want so much more of you. If there's something in this message that just says, you know, Lord, I want to, maybe it's that secret place thing. I want to draw closer into that secret place. But all of the verses gave you, there was a fulfillment in every one of them. There was a thing that you can get out of each and every one of these. And if there's anything else that you just want prayer for, you can come on up. I'm just going to pray as they sing a little bit, and then we'll do that. So, Lord, we just thank you for Psalm 91, Lord. We thank you for the glance that we've taken today at it, Lord. We pulled the car over, and we took a view of the nature and your character and your power and your person, Lord. And we looked at the beauty of who you are, God, through this one passage of Scripture. Lord, we're able to see all these things. So, Lord, we're asking today, Lord, in our hearts, Lord, that you would, if there's anything, Lord, in our hearts that we need from this, Lord, we're asking. Lord, maybe it's that we see your miracles in our lives for what they are. They're a way that you want to give us revelation of a God who makes covenant with us, Lord. So, Father, we just give you thanks, Lord. Father, I ask for just a revelation knowledge of who you are, Lord, even in the midst of this time, Lord. Father, I ask that you would come, open up the eyes of our heart to see you in a greater way, God. Lord, we thank you, for you are our deliverer, Lord. We thank you for the things that you've delivered us from that we aren't even aware. Lord, we thank you that we can declare who you are in the land of the living. Lord, we thank you for your divine protection over us, Lord. Our confidence is in you, Lord. Our confidence is in you. Not in the world system, not in our economy, not that our cars are even going to start, Lord, not in anything that this world has to offer, Lord. Our confidence is not in those things, but our confidence is in you, God. Increase the measure of our confidence in you, Lord. Increase the measure that we trust you for things that we didn't realize that we weren't trusting you, God. So, Lord, I ask for your provision to come as we trust in you, Lord. Our confidence is in you. Lord, thank you that we can witness your justice, Lord, to the world around us, to the wicked around us. We could just be a spectator, God. Thank you for all your promises in our lives, Lord. We say yes and amen to every one of us in this room that have a promise in your word and a promise from you, Holy Spirit. We say yes and amen to the fulfillment of that promise. And we thank you, Lord, for your authority in our lives, Lord. Give us a greater measure to understand. Give us revelation to understand the authority that you've given us for things to pray for breakthrough, the things that we have authority for, Lord, in prayer. So we give you thanks, Lord, for your divine fulfillment in our lives. We give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. We thank you, Lord.